You know, there are some verses in the Bible that when you read that verse, it's like coming to a stop sign. And it demands that you stop, that you take time to reflect, to digest, and to really process the implications of that verse before you go any further in your reading of the Bible. And actually, I find that this happens for all of us at different times, different ways, but that it is not at all uncommon for us when we read God's Word to come to a verse that puts us as though it were at an intersection in life and simply says, stop. Stop. Think about what this really means. Think about what this really implies. Think about what this really says to you and to your life. And this morning I want to take us to one such verse that I think has very significant application and implication for every one of us today. And that verse is found in the book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. If you would turn there this morning, I would appreciate that very much. And in order for us to really maximize the impact of the attention of this verse in our lives, I not only want you to turn there, but I want to ask you to do something else. I want you to stand up with me for just a moment, if you would do that. Because I want to be sure that we have you stopped and standing still here for just a moment. And I'm going to put this verse up on the screen for you this morning. And when I get to the large print words, I want you to just read, or as if it were, shout those words out loud. Okay? Now, guys, you ready? Help me. Let's get this verse up here just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17. Let's read it, and when I get to the large print, the white-lettered words, I want you to say that word out loud. Okay, here it is. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's do that one more time. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. One more time. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Good job. Sit down. Do you see what I mean about this verse? It's a verse that is all-encompassing in life. It's a verse that hits us wherever, however, and whatever we may be doing. I like the way that the author, or should I say the writer of the Message, who has taken and given a paraphrase of these scriptures, has done, Eugene Peterson. I want you to see how he records this verse. He says, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. What this verse is it's a verse that brings us to an intersection in life and says, stop. However you're living, whatever you're doing, here's what I want you to understand. That as a believer, everything you do is to be a reflection of the relationship that you have with God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ. And that whatever it may be, that there's nothing outside of that sphere of whatever. It doesn't say do most things that you do, do a few of the things, do the best things that you do to the glory of God. It literally says whatever you do in all things, you are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you are to give thanks and to give glory to God through Him. That is a tall order. That is a big order in life. But it is very clearly the demand of a follower of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to take time and to ingest and to understand the implications of this in life. Because certainly, when the Bible says, whatever you do, that in all things that you are to do them for the glory or in the name of the Lord, certainly one of the things that that implies is it implies that Christ is to be at the center of your life. It is a verse in the Scripture that describes centrality. Christ is to be as though it were the very hub, the center point of all of your living, and all of life is to be centered around Jesus Christ. But not only does it mean centrality, it means character. It means that whatever I do, and in all that I do, I'm to do it in accordance with the character of Christ, and in accordance with that which would become His name, that which would honor His name, His testimony, His glory. And so therefore, everything that I do in life is to keep in character with Christ. And everything that I do in life is to bring attention to His name. So what is this verse saying to us? Well, if I could just take it and put it in a word and emphasize not just the centrality of Christ in everything, but as though I were to live according to the character of Christ in everything, I think the word, the one word that comprises all of the things that this verse is saying to us is simply this word, excellence. Excellence. That I am to live my life with excellence. Excellence means living to the highest quality. And in this particular case, giving God the highest glory. We should pursue excellence in all things as believers. In fact, I believe that a prayerful and a convictional commitment to excellence is essential in the life of every believer and in the fellowship of every church. Now, why do I say that? Well, let me just give you some reasons for this focus on excellence today. The first of the reasons that I would give you is simply this, that excellence reflects. Excellence reflects. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that it reflects on the commitment, the character, and the importance of the one that we represent. So when I say that excellence reflects in my life and in your life, the way we live, the standards we keep, the service that we render in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a reflection of what we really think about Him and how we really honor Him. The Bible tells us in Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how what? Excellent is Your name in all the earth, who have set Your glory above the heavens. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name. The Bible says that the very name of God is the name of excellence. And therefore, whatever I do, whatever you do in any sphere of life, should be a reflection of the commitment that we have to honor His excellence. And the very character of the name of God becomes a standard of measure for my service, for my devotion, for everything about how I live life. Excellence is the highest of value or quality. And so when I live my life in every sphere, in the details, in the words, in the thoughts, in every little thing that I do, when I do it as though I'm doing it in the name of the Lord and in giving glory to Him, what I'm doing is I'm showing how I really think and how I really feel about God. And that in and of itself becomes a witness and a testimony to the wonder of who God is. In his book, Lyrics, Oscar Hammerstein tells a story of how that on one occasion he saw a picture of the top of the Statue of Liberty. Actually, this picture was taken when a helicopter was flying by the Statue of Liberty. And of course, he was amazed at the detail and the beauty of Lady Liberty as she was there in the harbor. But the picture that really fascinated him was not so much just the picture of the statue itself, but it was the picture that the helicopter was able to provide from the top of the statue looking down. And when he looked at that picture from the top of the Statue of Liberty looking down, the thing that fascinated him was the fact that there was such intricacy of detail given to even the hair on the head of this statue that now was a commonplace for airplanes and helicopters to fly over. Mr. Hammerstein said that was especially interesting in light of the fact that at the time that the statue was sculpted, no one could or would even consider the idea of air flight. It simply was something that man did not do when it was a gift given to America from the French. But here, many years later, the artist, the sculptor, who had ultimately crafted this figure, had seen to it that he had not cut the corners on the head of the crown and of the hairline of Lady Liberty. And as a result, today, when people fly over, they marvel at the detail and the attention that was given, not just to the flame and not just to the face, but to every part of this statue. And in that book, Mr. Hammerstein said this. He said, when you are creating a work of art or any other kind of work, finish the job off perfectly. You never know when a helicopter or some other instrument not at that moment invented may come along and find you out. He said, whatever you do, you need to do it with excellence. Now, obviously, he was speaking of art and of sculpting and in his particular arena of music. But I would simply submit to you today that if what we do in life is to ultimately be a reflection of what God is like, is it not true that you and I should give our best for the one who gave his all for us? That it should be that which demands the very best of us. And so understanding that principle, a number of years ago when I was living in South Florida and actually visiting a businessman in Fort Lauderdale, I noticed everywhere I went, in his office, in his home, everywhere I went, that he had a sign posted. And that sign became so significant to me that I sort of picked it up and adopted it personally in my life. And somewhere along the way, someone was aware of it and had this made for me. And had you been in my office with me just an hour or so ago this morning, you would have seen this sign there on a rack in my office. And it simply says, as you see on the screen, well, would you read it out loud with me? Excellence in all things, and all things to the glory of God. You know, I really think that's Colossians 3:17 personalized. Excellence in all things, and all things to the glory of God. And in everything that I do, in everything that you do, it is important because of the character of who God is that we reflect excellence. And that we be challenged to understand that our service is to be as unto the Lord and in honoring Him with our excellence. Now, let me quickly say that when I'm talking about excellence, I'm not talking about perfection. I can't be perfect and you can't be perfect. In fact, it is our lack of ability to attain a standard of perfection that has made us both the required, needy recipients of God's grace. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's not a single one of us whose life qualifies in and of ourselves to live a good enough life to bring honor to God. My best for God in and of itself is not enough. Did you know that? I can't ever earn my way or win my way to heaven by simply living a good life and trying harder. No, I need God's grace. A grace that is willing to meet me at the point of my brokenness and my imperfection, and that is whereby God is willing to cleanse me, to make my life right with Him. And God has done that in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. But excellence is not perfection, but what it is it's an attitude of the heart. And when I have experienced God's grace and forgiveness in my life, then what matters most to me in life is living every day in some way to reflect the name of the one who saved me and has forgiven me, Jesus Christ. And therefore, excellence becomes the thing that marks my character because it reflects the reality of the work of God in me. Excellence is from the heart. And I guess what I'm challenging you and me to do this morning is to examine our lives in whatever we do. And understand that we are to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you and me, how can we reflect His excellence in ways that we may not be doing it today? I read about a nurse who had committed her life to missions. She went over to a country where she was serving, where there were all kinds of diseases. But one of the diseases that still had not been addressed by medicine in that particular country was leprosy. And she found herself as a nurse serving Christ in this mission field, and one of the things that she had to do on a regular basis was to help to treat lepers. And leprosy is a disease that affects and disfigures the skin and the outer body. It literally causes the flesh to rot away, and her job was to change the bandages of these lepers. A young man on one occasion made a trip to this particular mission field and walked around and saw what was going on. And he looked at that nurse changing those sores. And he said of that woman, he said, "You know, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And the nurse heard it. And you know what she said? "Neither would I. Neither would I." But you see, her life was being lived by a different standard. And her willingness to address defiled sores on the body of lepers had much less to do with what she would earn, but it had much more to do with what she would reflect. And what she was committed to reflecting in her life was to reflecting the character of God's glory and of His excellent love to some hurting, needy people. And in your life and in my life, the Bible calls us to a standard of living called excellence, because excellence reflects the glory of God. There's something else that I would share with you about excellence this morning that is important for you and for me to understand, and that is not only that excellence reflects, but that excellence attracts. Did you know that? That when something is excellent, when something is done of high quality and is something that is of great beauty, it has a sense of attractiveness. And people are drawn to the beauty and to the wonder of that which is done with excellence. Someone has said that mediocrity breeds indifference, but excellence breeds commitment. Because excellence reflects a commitment of character, it attracts and it draws commitment from others. Don't you just hate the word mediocre? I mean, just think about that word, mediocre. Do you ever want that to be said of you? Oh, he's mediocre. She's just mediocre. None of us wants to be identified with mediocrity. Mediocrity is sickening. It's like iced tea in the summer when the ice is melted and it's been sitting in the sun and the glass is finished sweating, and you take a sip and you think, I don't like mediocre tea. A good cup of hot tea with some lemon, wonderful. A big, tall glass of iced tea with lemon, fabulous. But don't give me mediocre iced tea. And nobody wants to enjoy, and nobody can enjoy, that which is mediocre, because mediocrity never attracts or compels anyone to do anything. One of the things that's very unique in our community here in Boca Raton is that the community around us is marked by a particular style of architecture that bears the signature of one architect's name, his name, Addison Meisner. And for many years, people have come to this community and really other areas of South Florida to behold and to study the wonders of the works that were wrought by Addison Meisner. Now, he was obviously a very eccentric man. I don't know a lot about him. I do know that from what I've read, he wore silk pajamas and had a monkey on his shoulder. So I would consider that a little bit eccentric. I don't know about you. But what I will tell you is that he had an incredible ability to build and to create in detail. And it was the ability to build and to create in detail that established a style and that established a form that has attracted people from everywhere to be identified with the beauty and with the life that was established in the Meisner era. Well, in much the same way, whenever there's something about you and about me and about us that is of excellence and of wonder, then that becomes something that is attractive. And our goal in life should be to live life in such a way that we would attract people to Jesus Christ. You say, well, wow, that kind of sounds maybe like a little bit of business talk, just asking people to do things in a way in which it is well done. Well, it was Jesus who said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It would seem to me that if we are to have works, and those works are to be qualified as good works, then those good works ought to be excellent works, because those excellent works demonstrate an attitude of honor for God, and they create an attractiveness that calls others to come to Him. I don't know about you, but one of the great passions of my life is that Boca Raton Community Church would be an attractive tool in the hand of God to bring people to Jesus Christ. That there would be something about the character, something about the quality, something about the commitment of who we are and what we do. Our goal isn't to have the most beautiful facilities or the most magnanimous campus. Our goal is not to have the most programs or the most money of any church in South Florida. Our goal is simply this, to become a distinctive body of people who so want to reflect the excellence of the name of God that it is committed and lived out in such a fashion in our lives that other people are attracted to come and to find out why Christ means so much to us. That's what it's got to be about. Because whatever we do, in word or deed, we are to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see, excellence reflects, and what it really reflects is a desire to live a life of quality. It reflects a desire to live a life of quality, a life that really matters. But it also attracts, and that means that when I understand that excellence attracts, what happens in my heart is that I understand the importance of giving attention to standards in my life. But there's something else that excellence does, and that is that excellence lifts. It lifts. It calls everyone to a higher level. You see, when a standard of excellence is embraced in your life and in my life, what it will do is it will present a challenge to other people to live life at a different level. Excellence, when it is personalized, challenges the best in others. And one of the things that I want my life to do, as I would believe you desire, it is that my life would call others to live better, not to live less. That it would always be something that would call them to their best. And whenever someone breaks out of the mold of average and commits themselves to excellence, it will not only disrupt, but it also will establish a new challenge for other people around them to lift the sights of their life. We're about 40 days away from the Summer Olympics in Sydney, Australia. One of the fascinating things about the Olympic Games is that every year, when we come back to an Olympic performance, we're amazed that records that once seem unbreakable get broken again. And why is that true? Because there continues to be a standard of excellence, a commitment of discipline that calls every athlete to a higher level of devotion and discipline than ever before, so that that which at one time seemed to be unbreakable gets broken. And I believe today that more than ever before, there's a need for a rise in the threshold of commitment in the Church of Jesus Christ. That when a culture around us has rejected, denied, and despised God, that we would once again show a commitment of discipline to Him that would lift the commitment of others around us, that we would demonstrate to this community and to this society what it means to live for Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul has called us to do and challenged us to do. To the church at Corinth, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read this from the Message. He said, "You've all been to the stadium and you've seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, but one wins. Run to win. All athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that is eternally gold. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself." Paul said, "I'm going to keep raising the bar of commitment and discipline and performance in my life, because I want my life to ultimately reflect glory to God and attract others to God, but I want to lift the bar so that others will run to win." And that's what the church should be about. The church is intended to be a place where we are constantly calling people to a higher level of life. Yes, the church is a grace place where anyone from any point, at any time, can confess their sin and their need for Christ and can be loved and embraced and brought into the fellowship of the church. But while it is grace that attaches us to the church, it is a grace that does not leave us the way we are and that challenges us to live at a higher level. So again, the Scripture says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. We talked about it last week, as the manner of some is, but we are to come together to stir up love and good deeds. And that our coming together is to challenge all of us to do more and to be more for Christ, and to lift the standards of service and of devotion. Because mediocrity is not acceptable in Christianity. There's something else that excellence means. Not only does excellence lift and excellence attract and excellence reflect, but I wouldn't be honest with you this morning if I didn't tell you that excellence costs. Excellence costs. There's a price tag to the commitment to do everything you do in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know there's no cheap way to live for Jesus Christ. There's no easy way to live for Jesus Christ. And to make a commitment in your life and in my life to excellence is ultimately to understand that it comes at a great cost. Dr. George Sweeting, dear leader, mentor, has said, "Excellence is never cheap. It is costly. Constant care, serious preparation, and continual application are required. Excellence involves desire plus discipline and tenacity of purpose." And for you and for me to be a people of excellence, both in the everyday details of life, on the job, in the schoolroom, wherever we may be, to the gatherings like this one, when we gather in the name of Christ and we worship Him together, for excellence to be there, excellence will always come at a cost. Because excellence is not easy. Again, Paul described that cost in his life. Listen very carefully to what he said. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, "But whatever things were gain to me, whatever things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." If Christ is to be reflected as excellent in your life, then there's a cost. And the cost for you and the cost for me is a willingness to put aside everything else in life that gets in the way of living wholeheartedly and fully devotedly to Jesus Christ. Because excellence cost. But Paul said the pursuit of excellence in his life was an excellence of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, of knowing God in the details of life, of learning to live life in such a way that he could have contentment whether he had much or whether he had little, where he knew that God would supply all of his needs according to his riches and glory, and that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. You see, all those things were reflected in Paul's life because there was one commitment to excellence, and it was a costly commitment to lay aside everything else that he might live for Christ. And I simply want to say to you that making a commitment to excellence to Christ in your life, in your family, in your business, whatever it may be, is going to cost. But that brings me to the last thing. And that is that not only does excellence reflect and therefore causes me to want to live a life that is worth living. And not only does excellence attract and therefore gives me a sense of desire to have standards, and that excellence lifts, understanding that I must discipline myself, and that excellence costs, and that I must be willing to pay the price. But the greatest thing that I can tell you about excellence is that excellence lasts. It doesn't fade away. It endures. And that which is well done will one day be said in the presence of the Father, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the commitment of a heart of excellence is a commitment that says, "I want to live my life that one day I may hear the words, 'Well done.'" That in every aspect, in every arena of my life, I've lived to honor Christ in the details. Now, the general principle was given there in Colossians 3:17 when it said, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." But it was applied in the verses that followed. It was applied to the family life. And Paul said there in Colossians that wives and husbands and children were to live in such a way as to reflect excellence, honoring God in the details of family life. And then he applied it to the work life. Start being a person who lives life to work for God. And whatever the place may be, it is a place of significance and importance because it is done as unto the Lord. And then really it won't matter what you do in life. Because really, the product of your life will not be the profit line. It will be that which ultimately reflects and attracts and lifts and challenges others because you have lived your life for the glory of God. You have lived your life to one day hear Him say those words, "Well done." It was Charles Mays who said, "The greatest use of life is to spend it on something that will outlast us." May I submit to you that most people today are giving their lives for trivial pursuits? That most people today are living their lives for things that don't last? And that the only thing that will ultimately last and will ultimately matter will be that which will endure until the day that we see Jesus Christ. Yesterday morning, I got an early phone call from a member in our church telling me about a horrible accident that had occurred in Jacksonville, Florida, the evening before. A prominent attorney from South Florida, his wife and three children were rendezvousing for a few last-minute summer holidays there in Jacksonville before one son would come back to school in Gainesville and the other children would begin school again here in South Florida. But tragically, there was an automobile accident in which a vehicle did not stop at a red light and came through and broadsided the car. Suddenly and immediately, that young man's life was taken. His wife is in a hospital today, a young girl, a fifth grader, is in a coma. A junior in college is trying to wrestle with suddenly dealing with the death of his dad and a hurt mom and a little sister who's injured, and a son who's a junior in high school is struggling as well with the implications in their family. But this young man by the name of Jeff O'Keefe, marvelous young man as an attorney, had an even greater passion in his life. And that was that Jeff had lived his life for the glory of God. In addition to being an attorney, he had given himself in the ministry of First Care here in South Florida. In fact, was recently elected the vice chairman of the board of First Care Ministries, reaching out to touch the lives of young women who found themselves in an unexpected, unplanned pregnancy. And Jeff has invested a tremendous amount of life and energy in this and many other areas of Christian service. And as I sought to pray for and to send a message of encouragement to that family yesterday, as I thought about this message today, I thought about how tragic it is that Jeff did not live long. No one can ever see or hear of a moment like that and it not just buckle you on the inside to think of a wife, of a mother and children living without a father, and just the implications of how everything changed in a moment. But while Jeff may not have lived as long as anyone would have wanted, he lived well. And his life demonstrated a commitment not just to do things that would be for something now, but something that would last forever. Some way in which he could impact the lives of another generation of children who would maybe come into a fatherless world or possibly would go through some other process of the establishment of family, but who saw that and saw that as an opportunity to minister the mercy and the grace of God. And he gave himself to something that lasts. And I thought again about the tragedy and the adversities that come in life. But I thought again about how important it is for every one of us to live our life for something that will last. And the way that you live for what lasts is that you live your life for excellence. That whatever you do, in word or in deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So that the great commitment of your life is to live to reflect the name of the One who is excellent, for His name is excellent in all of the earth, and everything that is associated with Him is to be a reflection of that excellence. In the opening comments of one of his books, Chuck Swindoll had this little statement: "The greatest waste of our natural resources is the number of people who never achieve their potential. Get out of that slow lane. Shift into the fast lane. If you think you can't, you won't. If you think you can, there's a good chance you will. Even making the effort, you will feel like a new person. Reputations are made by searching for things that can't be done and doing them. Aim low, boring. Aim high, soaring. Pursue excellence. My heartbeat to you today is that you would hear the Word of God, that you would stop at the stop sign of the intersection that says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let excellence be the commitment of your life. Would you bow your head, close your eyes with me this morning? I wonder if you'd stop and examine your own heart this morning and ask and review the question, what is the commitment of my life today? First and foremost, I would ask you the question, has there ever been a day, a time, or a moment where you have committed yourself to the one whose name is excellent, Jesus Christ, and where you have come to understand that the only thing that matters in life is giving your life and living your life for Him? Every one of us has fallen below God's standard of perfection. He demands that standard, but we can't meet it. And knowing that we couldn't, God came from heaven to identify with us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus walked among us. Jesus died on the cross for us to take our sins and to pay the price for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that the standard of perfection might be met, not in me, but in Christ, but that now I can give my life to Him, I can trust Him, and then my life can be lived with excellence. Today, if you have never received Jesus Christ, if you don't know what it is to say the pursuit of my life is to pursue Him and to know Him and to serve Him, then I want to challenge you today to lay aside everything else you've been living for and to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The way you do that is that you have a moment of receiving and of confessing Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And today, if you've never confessed Christ, you may be a child, you may be a young adult, you may be a senior adult. But if you've never confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to urge you and challenge you right now. In your heart, no one's looking and no one's listening. This is between you and God. But in your heart, would you right now say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I know that I need Your grace in my life. Jesus, You came and You died on the cross for my sins, that I might be forgiven, that I might be made new, and that I might live my life for a higher purpose, for the purpose You made me. Come into my heart, dear Jesus. Take control of my life. Make me the person that You want me to be. Did you pray that prayer? If you did and you meant it with all of your heart, God sees your heart. Today I rejoice in what God has done, and we as a church have prayed for God to work and to touch people just like you today. And if that prayer of faith was prayed in that moment, would you be willing, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, to just lift your hand up around this building and just share with me today and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer to receive Christ today, and I just in this moment am thankful that God has answered that prayer. Would you just lift your hand up wherever you may be? Just put it up. Put it up. And then put it down. Father, I thank You for these who have confessed Jesus this morning and who have answered the call of the Holy Spirit for the one whose name is excellent. I pray that beginning today and from today that there will be a sense of beginning to live life for a new purpose and that it would be in to live in such a way as to reflect Your name and Your excellence. Father, not only for these but for others who are here, I pray that we would examine the details of life and that we would consider whether or not we have done in obedience that which You have called us to do as followers of Yours. You've called us to confess you. And some have done that even in this moment. You've called us to follow you, Lord, in the steps of baptism. Knowing, Lord, that baptism pictures our identification with you, that we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to you. And Father, I pray for those who may be here today who know Christ but have not taken that step of obedience in life, that today would be a day of decision and that in a very soon date there would be a day of public confession of Christ through baptism. Father, there are other areas of life where we need to address details of obedience. It may be in witness. It may be in giving. It may be in prayerlessness. Lord, I don't know what all the areas may be, but you know. So I just pray that you will use these moments to call us to you and to call us to a standard of excellence. In Jesus' name.